Last week, we began a series on what was I thinking? We're studying Colossians, the first chapter, written by Paul. We ask ourselves that question, what was I thinking, more frequently than we would probably like to admit. Paul's letter to the Colossians asks, what are you thinking as it relates to God? Without examining what we think about God, our actions may be captive to more than we realize. Today, we're going to explore the difference in how we think about who do you know versus who do you know about. There's a big difference in that. By now, many of you have witnessed that I love dogs. Some of you have seen the dogs that I train. So it's not a surprise that one of my favorite characters is Snoopy from Charlie Brown. How many of you know that series? Charlie Brown? Every Christmas, I got to see Charlie Brown and Snoopy and all the gang. Well, every morning I read several devotions, and one of my favorite is from Bob Gass. And so on June 20th, he had a wonderful, funny story. Funny, get that? I'm going to read this story. Snoopy looks in and sees the family sitting around the table enjoying Thanksgiving dinner while he's outside eating dog food. How about that, he thinks. Everybody's eating turkey today, but because I'm just a dog, I get dry dog food. Then he suddenly regains his perspective. Of course, things could be worse. I could have been born a turkey. Snoopy knew about turkeys, but he didn't know a turkey. Many of us know God because we have walked with God in the hills and valleys of our lives. We have struggles, and through those struggles, we can know God more fully. This week has been a particularly busy week here. Pastor John is gone on vacation, and we have 5 funerals. 4 this week and 1 tomorrow. I ask that you pray for those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. Tomorrow afternoon, we have a celebration of life for one of our younger parishioners, Kevin Denker. Many of you knew him. You knew his father, Howard Denker. It's been a very solemn week, but we've done a lot of celebrating. And when Claire had the kids dancing up here, I was reminded of yesterday. We had a funeral, a celebration of life in the chapel for a man named Louis Bruno, and probably you don't know him. But he loved karaoke, and he loved country and Western music. So there were a couple selections. And by the time we were done with everything, we played the last selection. It was awesome. And I said, you know, if you guys want to dance, go for it. Well, they looked at me, and the music started. And Judy, the widow's youngest son, Steve, gently walked over her and took her hand and danced a slow dance with his mother. I couldn't contain my tears, and neither could a lot of other people. What a blessing. I have 3 sons, and I was so touched by the tenderness of that moment, and everybody clapped. Just like they clapped when Samuel Christensen got up here and shared a message. I knew about Samuel, but I didn't know Samuel until he started shadowing me as I go out on my visits. He's an intern, and I guess they think I might know something about visiting that I could teach him. So we went to Brookstone, where we had four people, and after we were done visiting, we went to the ice cream room. It's the best ice cream. And over ice cream, he was sharing with me about his trip to Costa Rica. Now, remember, I knew about Samuel, but I didn't know Samuel until after that time we sat having ice cream together, and he shared from his heart in an authentic way, and we both cried. I know Samuel. He comes into my office often. He came in yesterday as I was getting ready for the fourth funeral. And he said, "Pastor, may I pray over you?" I would love that, Samuel. It's not his first time, but I was weary yesterday. I sat down in my office chair, and Samuel put his hands on my shoulders, and he prayed over me. And I was filled with energy. And in that moment, not only did I know God better, but I know Samuel better. There's a gentleman that lives in my neighborhood. Some of you know I live at Riverside Lakes, and my whole basement was damaged in the flood. Not because it came through the windows and doors, but because we had one plug, one drain we didn't find. So the basement filled with water, and I lost everything. And like many people that lost things in the flood, we all knew it would be a financial setback. It would be a financial burden. But it wasn't as bad as some people who lost family members. I continue to be grateful the whole time because I was getting to know God better. And there's a gentleman I knew in our neighborhood. His name is Donnie. I knew Donnie was a plumber. So when it came time, when ServPro left and Carlson Restoration left, I called Donnie and I said, "Donnie, I need you to restore my plumbing." Boy, he was there right away, and I can't tell you. I lost track of how many hours Donnie the plumber spent in my basement. And days went by when he got it all done, and weeks went by, and I didn't have a bill. And there was part of me that was still questioning, I wonder how much that bill is going to be. And I saw him on the street one day, and I said, "Donnie, you haven't sent the bill for the plumbing. How much do I owe you?" And he looked me in the eye. He said, "Nothing." I said, "Donnie, you worked so long and hard in my house." He said, "I know, but you owe me nothing, because that's what neighbors do." At that moment in time, I no longer knew about Donnie. I knew Donnie. And we are great friends now. I knew Donnie and I knew Samuel as children of God in a new and powerful way. If you weren't here to hear the message that Samuel shared, just let me tell you, it was awesome. It was so awesome. It's the only time I've ever heard people clap for a message. It's wonderful. So we go on. It's kind of like just about everything in our life, like knowing about marriage. It's difficult to know about marriage if you're not married or have never been married. Knowing God as author of our lives and purifier of our souls will change our outlook on everything. We know God more fully by reading God's word, by worshiping God, by praying and meditating, by being honest with God, by communing with God, and by being the hands and feet of Jesus, by serving others, just as Donnie served me. We have those God moments. I think Pastor Larry used to refer to them as spirit bumps. God moments in our lives when we know God more fully. So let's look at what the scriptures say about that. We heard it read today, but I want to review it for you. And first of all, I want to ask you, how does our outlook change when we know God rather than just knowing about God? We never have to wonder about the supremacy of Jesus Christ or why or how he came into being. So let's look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And in verse 16, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authoritarians. All things were created by him and for him. And verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's the truth about how we know God better. And second, we never have to wonder who's in charge. We can relax and not live in fear. And in verse 18 it tells us, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Doesn't that give you comfort? And where can we find our peace from in the midst of the turmoil, be it a flood, being an accident, whatever that goes on in your life, losing your loved ones? How can you find peace in those dark times? In verse 19, we read, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And in verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And fourth, since Jesus Christ frees us through the death and resurrection, how do we deal with the guilt of our past? You might not have it, but I have to deal with it on a pretty regular basis because I'm a human being. But I can let go of it. I don't have to live with it until the next time I commit a sin. And then I ask for forgiveness. So in verse 21 and 22, we read, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present your body in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Isn't that a relief? How do we know? Once we feel that forgiveness, how do we know when Jesus is the top priority of every aspect of our lives? Not just part of it, but every aspect. In verse 23, we read, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Can we, like Paul, continue to worship and proclaim the gospel by how we live? I want you to know that if you don't come to worship with us, we miss you. So if you think it's just about you, it's not. It's about all of us coming together and knowing God more fully. Can we embrace God's holy word in the scriptures so that more can be revealed as we know God? Can we walk daily with him and not live in the past or the future? Can we live happy, joyous, and free lives knowing that we are children of God? Can we accept others and ourselves, warts and all, knowing that God loves us just the way we are and has created us, each one of us, to aspire to be more like Jesus? Can we accept that just as our mothers loved us in the womb, Jesus loves us even more? When we let ourselves feel loved, can we live more abundant lives? Can we stop wasting our lives doing and saying things that are counterproductive? I think we can, if we turn our lives over to the one and only Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we know God and not just know about God. I think the more we know God, the more we understand that Jesus was not merely a prophet who proclaimed the good news, who provided insightful teachings or performed some miraculous and impressive miracles, and who meant well. He is not something you add to yourself just to improve your self-awareness. It's more than that. When we understand more fully that Jesus is with us every moment, and when we realize who Jesus is, then we realize that he deserves our full devotion, not just our leftovers. The entirety of our being. We realize more about the true meaning of life, and we surrender our heart and our will to him and dive wholeheartedly in the abundance of God's love. We say to God, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Sometimes words get in the way of knowing God. My favorite verse in the Bible is Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." Every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., several of us gather in the prayer chapel and we meditate. We have the plaque in there, we see that, we pray. And then we close our eyes. We breathe deeply and we just sit in total silence for 45 minutes. And at first, that may seem a long time. We started out with 20 minutes, and they just went right up to 45 like that. One of the gentlemen, I won't mention any names, but his name is, I'll give you the first name, Terry. Terry's wife tells him often he's a lot nicer now that he meditates. You're welcome to join us. You're welcome to join us. And my desire for you and for me is that we know God more fully as we open ourselves to the possibilities while we live, love, and learn with Jesus Christ in our lives. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all who have gathered together as our brothers and sisters in Christ to know you more fully. Help us to make you the top priority every moment we are on this earth. Please be with those that are grieving such losses. Help us to know as we grieve, as we struggle, that we mature spiritually and we can continue to walk with you and know you more fully. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.